Does the holiday season have you feeling cheery or extra stressed?
Stay tuned to find out why trials and hardships are the perfect formula for God to reveal Himself in our life.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. We hope you had a great weekend. We sure did. We celebrated our daughter Mariah's birthday.
Yes, we did.
She's 13.
Very special times.
Oh, yes, it was. And it's Monday, and it's also World Soil Day.
Wow. Well, World Soil Day is all about promoting soil health to preserve global food supply. It's interesting when you think about it that the quality of the soil is the most essential component to allow food to grow. And that makes total sense because when we're growing our garden in the summer, we actually have to think about what kind of soil we have.
That's right. And that reminds us of a parable of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 13. Did you know that Jesus identifies four types of soil that represent different conditions of our hearts? But notice only one type of soil, the good soil, produces an abundance of good fruit. You see, the condition of our hearts determines the kind of fruit we will produce. So we encourage you to read the entire passage right there in Matthew chapter 13 and let God speak to your heart today. You know, we have in store many, many blessings, and we will begin by taking a look back at this day in history.
On December 5, 1945, at 2:10 p.m., five U.S. Navy Avenger torpedo bombers, comprising Flight 19, took off from the Fort Lauderdale Naval Air Station in Florida on a routine three-hour training mission. They never returned. 2 hours after the flight began, the leader of the squadron, who had been flying in the area for more than 6 months, reported that his compass and backup compass had failed and that his position was unknown. The other planes experienced similar instrument malfunctions. Radio facilities on land were contacted to find the location of the lost squadron, but none were successful.
You know, they were lost in what is known today as the Bermuda Triangle. Have you ever felt lost? Not sure what direction to go or what you've even been doing in life? Maybe you're unsure of the future, both far and near. Well, friends, today we want to encourage you. Jesus is seeking you as a shepherd. You know, as a shepherd seeks for his lost sheep, Jesus is calling, saying, come to me, and I will give you direction. Come to me, and I will show you the way. You know, he promises in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Friends, trust Him, acknowledge Him, and He will teach you the way.
Amen. We've got the perfect seasoning recipe that is sure to help make many of your dishes delicious. Gia and Olive have it coming right up.
Okay, so we are making... No, she's already started. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We can tell you what's in it. Wait, just wait, okay? I know you're in a hurry. What are we making? Do you remember? It's chicken salt. Chick-it salt. So it's not chicken salt. It's like chicken salt. We are going to teach you how to make a seasoning that you can keep in your cupboard that's going to be healthier for your kids, and you get some good B12 from it as well. And I like to keep it to put on my potato chips, like my microwave chips, which you'll find on our website. Olive Litz has already started. She's put 1 tablespoon of the Himalayan salt in there already, and she's put, well, 1/2 teaspoon of the Italian herbs. So that's what she's put in there so far. So with this recipe, we need 1 tablespoon of garlic powder, 1 teaspoon of onion powder. So can you mix it while I put them through? Because we need to mix them through really well. And in here, I've got, if you can see there, 1/2 teaspoon of each sage and turmeric. This recipe comes from a lady called Jean Gidley. You can't find her recipes online. I've tried. She runs the, she helped start CHIP program in Australia. So, which is a great program to reverse heart disease and diabetes, or trying to reverse diabetes and also help people lose weight. This is parsley, 1 tablespoon of parsley.
Do this thing your own.
No, I didn't. That was delicious. And this is a half a cup of nutritional yeast flakes. And I remember we've talked about this before. Nutritional yeast flakes are full of B vitamins and they make things taste a little cheesy and just give flavoring. Okay, and then you got to mix it through really well. I like collecting these little jars that when we're finished, like herbs of some sort, and I just wash them out. And then I use this here to put some in there. Let's mix it, mix it, mix it, mix it, mix it. This will make about two or three of these jars. We use this to put it in there. Oh, we're making a mess because we love making a mess, don't we? And we fill up these little jars. And there you have it. You've got your chicken seasoning, which is not chicken seasoning, chick-it seasoning. And we will use this for everything in our house whenever we want some seasoning because it's a healthy option. There you go, and it's your own. You should try this on chips, or we're gonna make some other different chips today for the show. Enjoy using it on everything. Get your B vitamins in you.
That looked good. We're going to have to try that.
Yes, it did.
Make food taste even better. Well, friends, don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on our YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
We have to take a quick break now, but when we return, we will talk about the God of the Desert. First up, we have doctor's orders.
I love the red candy.
Did you know red dye causes diarrhea, headaches, and even cancer?
What? Well, no more red dye for me. But that's not a problem because I love the blue ones as well.
Well, I hate to tell you, that causes hyperactivity and in children, ADHD.
What are you talking about? So what is there that I can eat that's pleasurable?
There are lots of great tasting foods that are even good for you.
And how do you know the difference?
The closer to nature, the better.
So these candies that are highly refined are probably dubious?
Well, did you ever see candy fall off a tree?
No, I can't say I have.
And likewise, did you ever see anyone dig Burger Coke and fries out of the garden?
No, you certainly don't.
Well, you remember the saying, if God made it,
eat it.
If man made it,
read it.
And if you can't read it, don't eat it. So if it's food as grown, then it's good for you.
So all the binding, grinding, and refining and adding all those chemical colorings and additives are not very good for you?
Terrible chemistry. Instead, have red strawberries, red raspberries, red plums, and red apples. Doctor's orders.
For many of us, this time of the year is filled with gatherings with loved ones and gifts. You know, things seem to be so cheerful and joyful, and it's easy to forget God. It's easy to become sluggish in spiritual matters.
Tune in today. Revelation of Hope will have an episode as Taj Pakalip discusses the importance of trials and the God of the Desert.
O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life.
Shadows awakens the dawn. Glorious.
Our world is covered with such diversity of contrasting landscapes. Lush green forests, white sandy beaches, towering majestic mountains, snow-covered tundras, humid thick jungles, tropical sun-kissed islands, and barren cactus-covered deserts. Of all the various landscapes to choose from, most people don't choose the desert as the chief choice of exploration. Personally, I'm much more drawn to the ocean and the tropics, if you ask me. But the past few days, I've been absolutely blown away by the beauty of the desert wilderness. For most, the desert is not a desirable destination. You see, to the common eye, there's nothing much to see here. Dirt, rocks, sand, cactus, snakes, scorpions, the occasional rabbit. Nothing too exciting. For most, the desert is associated with barrenness and death. In fact, the English word desert comes from the Latin word desertum. As a noun, it refers to an abandoned place. The same exact word as a verb pronounced desert means the exact same thing, to abandon, to forsake, and to leave alone. But in the Bible, God has revealed himself in powerful and profound ways through this environment. In order to prepare him to be Israel's deliverer, God brought Moses into the desert for 40 years. In preparation to be the forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist also spent most of his life in the same environment. Many of the patriarchs and prophets of the past were prepared to preach and propagate the knowledge of the true God by going through a desert wilderness experience. The harsh, difficult environment of the desert taught them the important lessons of self-distrust, humility, and faith in the unseen God. In order to be used by God in powerful ways, God's people had to learn to lean on Him when they felt deserted by all others. It's the same for us today. You see, many times in life, we go through the desert experience where we are deserted by friends and even family. At some point in our journey, we've all traversed through the dry wilderness of financial hardships, health issues, marital difficulties, and relational conflicts. And through these trials, sometimes we can even feel deserted by God Himself. Perhaps that's exactly how you feel right now. Maybe today you are in a dry wilderness experience and you can't see God work or feel His presence in your life. You feel deserted, abandoned, and even forsaken by God. Well, if so, I want to encourage you today. I want you to know that the God of the universe is also the God of the desert. He's the God to all who feel forsaken and forgotten. If you feel that you're in a spiritual desert today, be encouraged. For God says through the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise." God has promised to reveal himself in new ways as he does a new thing in the desert experience. He also promises that if you seek him first and seek him early, that he will turn your desert into the Garden of Eden. The Bible says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the Garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." As I've experienced the beautiful desert of the Navajo Nation these past few days, I've seen this promise fulfilled in a very literal way. I've seen the creativity of the Creator carved in the canyons, in the red sandstone rocks, in the blossoming cactus, in the flowing rivers, through the wide-eyed owls and the artistic sunsets. And as I've beheld these things, I've come to realize more clearly than ever before that though the desert can be harsh and barren, that our God is the God of the desert. And just as there's physical beauty in this literal desert, there is also spiritual beauty in the spiritual desert experience. And if you look closely and observe carefully, you will see God's mighty hand leading you through. So though you may feel forgotten, know that you are not forsaken. And though you might be all by yourself, know that you are surely not alone. Trust God, depend upon the promises of His Word. Count your blessings. Pray without ceasing. Draw close to Him. Let Him draw close to you. And as you do, God will reveal Himself to you in a new way today. I pray that you will thrive and survive as you learn to trust the God of the desert.
Coming up after the break, Voice of Prophecy's Alex Rodriguez will share a devotional message. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us this morning. It's time for our devotional thought brought to us today by Alex Rodriguez from our friends at Voice of Prophecy.
The story of Joseph and his coat of many colors is a favorite of many children and those of us who still pretend to be young. I have often imagined what the coat might have looked like. What colors did Jacob choose? What pattern and order did he use and why? How many coats did he make? I imagine as Joseph outgrew a coat that another coat was needed. Was the last one the only multicolored coat, or was it Jacob's custom to make Joseph's coats colorful? And the process of making the coat itself is something that intrigues me. My mom taught me basic sewing skills using a sewing machine when I was young. And over the past couple of years, I've put those skills to test on several reupholstery jobs around the house. In fact, I'm tackling a massive project right now. But at least the material I'm using is already made. Did Jacob buy material at the local trade market? Or did he make the material himself, string by string and color by color? These and many more questions I plan to pepper Mr. Jacob with when I meet him in heaven. However the process went, we can be assured that it was a time-consuming, tedious effort of love. Automation and machinery, as we've come to know them, were not in existence back then. Joseph's coats were all handmade, and in every fiber, in every stitch, Jacob placed a piece of his heart. In the making of the coat, Jacob is a type of Christ. God didn't just make our clothing, but He made us. He formed us out of the mud of the earth. In every shaping of the clay, every smoothing of the contours, every precise and perfect symmetry, He poured out His incredible love for us. And then, when He had formed the perfect man and woman, Scripture reveals that He put His own breath in us. Oh, Psalms 139:14 says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." What is the value of a human life? Well, it's incalculable. Not only did the God of the universe stoop down to physically form us, and not only did He make us in His express image and breathe into us His breath, but Scripture reveals that this same God spared not His own life in redeeming us. When we went astray, out of our own selfish desires, rejecting the very one who gave us life and sustains that life minute by minute and second by second, instead of leaving us to our own destruction, gave His life a ransom for us. 1 Corinthians 6:20 tells us that we were bought at a price, the most expensive of purchases. Our redemption cost God the life of His own Son. I don't know how you are feeling today. I'm not sure what thoughts you have embraced about who you are and what others think of you, but